Thanksgiving coming up. I love Thanksgiving, but I love Thanksgiving, but I could only have turkey like once, you know what I mean? And so we had, you know, Friendsgiving and not, you know, we just add so many layers, right? And so we were having these get-togethers, and my wife said, should we do turkey? And I said, can we just do turkey like on Thanksgiving? Can we do that? That's me. I don't know about you guys, might love Thanksgiving, but I'd rather have tacos sometimes. So we're getting ready for Thanksgiving, and you probably are thinking, well, Pastor put together a Thanksgiving message. And I'm sorry to disappoint you, but we're going to be talking about Abraham again. And remember last week we learned about the assurance that we can have in God. There were the covenant promises that Abraham was able to be reassured with. And we need to be sure, don't we? We talked about that. We need to be sure that that what God tells us is right. It's going to happen. And that's where Abram was. He said, how can I be sure that the things that you're telling me are going to come to pass? And then he saw that there was this covenant that was made, and the only one that went through the middle of the carcass that was split in half was the presence of God Almighty went through there, because God would stay faithful to his covenant promise. And in that, we also saw that God never sugarcoats life. And he prophesied, he spoke into the future of Abram's life, and he said, Abram, your descendants, which you're going to have many, because I'm a God of who fulfills my promise, but your descendants are going to be slaves for 400 years. And that's going to happen in the future. But when that happened in Abram's, this vision that he got about what was going to take place, there was a dark presence that occurred. And kind of the presence of pressure was upon him. And what we found in that passage, in that narrative, is that God never promises that everything's going to go great in life. But he does promise that he will be great even when things aren't. And that's important. And I think it's very important, because where we're going today is sometimes in our lives, our faith gets weak. Sometimes in our life, our faith even gets depleted. And when that happens, and it happens because of different reasons, I have to believe that I'm speaking to someone in our service, or I'm speaking to someone who's watching online, and you are in a very difficult place, because your faith, maybe that you once had, you don't have anymore. And everyone's talking about how good, you know, it is walking with the Lord, and you're like, yeah, it might be good for you, but it's not being good for me. And so you're in this struggle. I had a great video that I wanted to show you. I think we have the audio. We're going to try the audio, right, Christy? Let me kind of give you the scenario here. So I don't know if you've heard of Lecrae. Lecrae is a Christian artist, really big in the hip-hop genre. And secular hip-hop, I mean, and Christian hip-hop, he's been a leader in that. And then he's also an influencer on YouTube, and has millions of people that follow him. And Lecrae has gone through the good, the bad, and the ugly. And sometimes when you go through the ugly, you begin to question you begin to question, is it worth it? When people turn on you, and I know that that's never happened to anyone in here, but our other service, they have a lot of people that turn on them. Yeah, people turn on you and you begin to question, is it worth it? And so let's try to cue that up. Maybe we can listen to it, Christy.
Wade, oh.
Craig, how you doing, bro?
Wonderful, brother.
Always good to see you, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have a song on the new album. It's actually one of my favorite ones that you've ever made. It's called Destination. Yeah. Can't Stop Me Now. And one of the things you talk about on there is how you were struggling with your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And can you just kind of talk about some of the events that led up to you hitting that point, and then what kind of turned the corner for you to kind of get back to obviously where you are now?
Yeah, I mean, I think Gandhi said it, Frederick Douglass has said it, like a lot of people have probably said, like, it's not the Christ I have a problem with, it's his people, you know what I mean? And that was my struggle, is just God's people. It's like, yo, I felt so much disenfranchisement, I felt so much abuse from, I think, organized religion, just because I'm walking in a direction that a lot of them just couldn't fathom and can't understand. That it really kind of, it drove me away. And sometimes you throw the baby out with the bathwater, instead of running away from just the people, you run away from the whole idea of it. And that's where I was at that point in time, was just kind of like, I don't want to, it's like a person in an abusive relationship. They just like, I'm done with relationships, you know what I mean? And not done with that person. So that's kind of what I went through. And I actually went to Egypt. Everybody can't just fly to Egypt when they feel down and out, I understand. But it was good for me because I got to see a 3,000-year-old civilization that weathered storms. Could be 7,000-year-old civilization that weathered storms. And people's faith were intact through all that. And so it just helped me realize it's bigger than me. It's bigger than America. And so, yeah.
Yeah, and so we're going to pick up where he left off of, you know, our faith. There's an assurance that we have in our faith in God. And you notice what he said, that like other leaders, they've said, we don't have a problem with Christ. We have a problem with people. You know, the church is a perfect place until we walk in. You notice that? I'm not kidding you. Because we bring messes. I don't know about you guys, but I have messes in my life. I'm kind of messed up myself. I know I've settled. I need a savior. And so Abram goes from an assurance of faith to a testing of faith. He's married to this lady named Sarai, who her name was going to be changed to Sarah. Not yet. Not yet. It's going to be changed to Sarah in a little bit, but not yet. And we're going to see what happens in their life. And I think it's going to speak to our lives. Because someone in here, you're being tested. Your faith is being tested. And my prayer is that when we leave here, that you're going to hold on to the God who is faithful. And to the promises that are true. So chapter 16, verse 1, it says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him. Remember the last passage that he was saying, Lord, that's all well, the promises you've given me, but I have no heir. I have no child. Abram was talking to God. Now we pick up, and it's confirmed. Abram's wife had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. Isn't it interesting that the servant was an Egyptian servant? And later on, the Israelites were going to be oppressed by who? By the Egyptians. Interesting. And her name was Hagar. And so Sarai said to Abram, "The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Word to the wise, when your wife tells you to go sleep with someone else, say no. In the moment, you're going to say, are you kidding me, honey? I'm going to take it for the team. Let's read the rest of the story. She says, go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abram, man, I don't even know if I can say it. It doesn't even say reluctantly. And Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal. So Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. Now, this is important because for 10 years, the promise was that Sarai was going to have a child. And after 10 years, she got tired of waiting. It's important. So 10 years prior, there was faith, right? 10 years post Canaan, there was weak faith. There was, I'll take things into my own hands. But when, Abram had sexual relations with Hagar and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarai with contempt or disrespect is another word for that. So just think about it. She began to disrespect Sarai. And then Sarai said to Abram, this is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with disrespect or contempt. And the Lord will show who's wrong, you or me. Notice she brings God into the picture at that time. Abram replied, look, she's your servant, so deal with her as you see fit. That's kind of a cop-out. And then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she, Hagar, finally ran away. And the angel of the Lord, okay, the angel of the Lord, that's a theophany, okay? That's a pre-incarnate Jesus. That's God actually manifesting himself in the Old Testament. So the angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. And the angel said to her, hey, Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai, she replied. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her authority. Then the angel of the Lord added, I will give you more descendants than you can count. To Hagar. Now, the angel of the Lord, this is where you know it's a theophany, because only God can make things happen. Not angels. Angels are just messengers, okay? He said, I will give you more descendants than you can count. And the angel also said, you are now pregnant and will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Ishmael, which means God hears. So what does Ishmael mean? What does that word mean? God hears. Very good. For the Lord has heard your cry of distress, and this son of yours will be a wild man, as untamed as a wild donkey. He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live in open hostility against all his relatives. Now, that's important right there, too, because history is marked by what happened here. The direct descendants and the religion that comes from Ishmael is Islam. And Islam is a great religion. It's one of the monotheistic religions. direct line to Abraham. So it's very true that this was going to take place because God said, thereafter, verse 13, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. And she said, you are the God who sees me. And she also said, have I truly seen the one who sees me? So that well was named Beer Lahai Roy, which means well of the living one who sees me. And it can still be found between Kadesh and Bered. And so Hagar gave Abram a son, and Abram named him Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old. Let's pause real quick. He was 86 years old when Abram had Isaac, who's going to come later. He was 100 years old. So this helps you to understand Ishmael was 14 years old when Isaac was born. So it says Abram was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. Okay. So today we're talking about weak faith and the need for a strong God. Weak faith and the need for a strong God. One of the things that I find myself saying to people that have gone through something big, say a loss of a loved one, a divorce. I'm talking about big things that happen in your life. One of the things that I believe the Holy Spirit prompts me to say is don't get in a hurry. Don't get in a hurry. Allow the Lord to minister to you, because when big things happen, when trauma happens, when there's unfulfilled things in your life, what happens is that you're very vulnerable. You're very vulnerable to be prone to making decisions that you're going to regret. You begin to doubt God. You begin to doubt yourself. Anyone ever been there? In the most difficult of times, we begin to doubt. Now, you have to remember, Sarai had waited not 1 year, not 2 years, not three, 10. And she began to doubt that it was going to happen because she, I believe, began to doubt herself. There was something wrong with her. There was something inadequate with her. And so I'm going to reach out to Hagar because we'll make it happen one way or another, right? I love the way that the great leadership coach, the wonderful leadership, John Maxwell is his name, and he put it like this. He says, difficulty seldom defeat people, but lack of faith in themselves usually does. When you doubt yourself, when you doubt who God made you to be, you will live a defeated life. And I've got to believe that Sarai was living a defeated life. She was living like if she didn't have worth, because all her worth was in having a child. Are you with me? And I think that there's something that everyone deals with that we feel like we're not worthy because we don't have it. Whatever that it is in your life, you know it. And that's what draws your faith. That's what pulls your faith out. It depletes. It puts a hole in your faith tank. But notice what Sarai said. The Lord has prevented me. It's like Eve in the beginning with Adam. Did God say that the serpent came? Did God say that you cannot eat of all the fruit in the garden? He says, no, we can eat all the fruit, but we just can't eat the one that's in the middle of the garden. From that tree, we cannot eat. And the Lord said that if we eat it or even touch that fruit, we're going to die. And she begins to question God's reliability and even your self-worth. And I've got to believe that there's someone in here that you're questioning the reliability of God, and you're questioning the self-worth that you have. And you're not living out your full potential. And so what happens to Sarai is that she got ahead of God. And then when you get ahead of God, she began to blame people. And then you blame people, and all of these are not going to work. Just want you to know, you can blame God all you want, but it doesn't work. Because God is the source of our healing, and God is the answer to our problem. Say amen if you believe that. Okay? And then you blame other people, and that just puts you in a horrible, horrible place. And so that's where Sarah was. And then what happens next is you begin to take matters into your own hands. And I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. What did Sarai do? She began to play God in her own life. You know what? God has forbid me from having children, but don't worry, I'll take care of it. How many times have we taken care of things and it bites us? Right? I do both feet, but I can't. I'll fall. You know, there's a place in Paul's letters in the New Testament, and he's writing to the Corinthians, and he's dealing with people who are taking sides with different leaders in the church. And I know that doesn't happen here at Living Word Chapel. It's a reality that people are always saying, well, I like this leader better, and I like that one better, and I like this. And the enemy loves that. And so Paul is dealing with this, and the main person that they were saying, we like him or we like Paul, it was Apollos. And Apollos was this real, real eloquent speaker, and everybody loved him. And so Paul began to deal with this situation. And this is what Paul says, and I love the way that the Message paraphrase puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. He says, so don't get ahead of the master. Don't get ahead of God, okay? And jump to conclusions with your judgments before all the evidence is in. Are you with me? He says, don't get ahead of God. Don't jump to conclusions with your own judgments before all the evidence is in. When he comes, he's talking about Jesus, he will bring out in the open and place in evidence all kinds of things we never even dreamed of. Inner motives and purposes and prayers. Only then will any one of us get to hear the well done of God. Are you with me? That's having faith. What Paul is saying right there is, instead of getting ahead of God and coming to conclusions and starting to bring judgment against people or bring judgment against God, take a step back and say, Lord God, I'm going to believe, I'm going to trust you. This is a difficult place that I'm in, but I'm going to believe that you're going to be faithful. I don't like where I'm at right now, but I know that you're not done. Are you with me? There was a time in my life that we went through such a difficult time in our family. I'll never forget being at the front of the church. I had to preach that Sunday, and there was something going on in our family, and it was about 4 o'clock in the morning, maybe 3 o'clock in the morning. I had to come because of something that had happened. And I was processing if I was going to go to that location where these things had happened, or I was going to go back home and get ready to preach that morning. I hadn't slept. I remember crying out there. I'm not a big crier, but I remember crying out there, saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. And how many of you know that when you've got some family problems going on, that it hurts worse than anything else? And driving back home, because Shauna gave me a call and said, don't come. Don't come. And we were, and it wasn't, just so you guys are at ease, it wasn't Shauna and I saying, you know, it wasn't between us. It was another situation. She said, don't come. I remember driving home and coming back and preaching that Sunday. You want to talk about your faith being tested and your faith being depleted? the difficulty that we face. And that's why I have a lot of empathy for individuals. When you're honest and you say, I've been in it, or I am in it, and it's very difficult what I'm facing. And I'll tell you right now that I'm not going to pass a judgment on you when you're going through the most difficult of times and kick you to the curb. Because God never kicked me to the curb in my most difficult of times. And so here's the second thing that I see from this passage is weak faith or lack of faith affects everyone around us. What happens when our faith gets weak? It's like a virus that affects every person around us. Look at Sarai, had weak faith. I mean, God had just spoken to Abram, right? And said he trusted in the Lord, he trusted in God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So he had this encounter with God, and his faith was just like on the top of the meter. And now Sarai is struggling with her faith and her trust that God was going to come through. And so Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. And Abram had sexual relations with Hagar. But let me say something, because we talk about Sarai a lot and what she did, but Abram was just as much to blame as Sarai. Are you with me? And he had sexual relations with Hagar. She became pregnant, but when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarai, with contempt. And the whole thing that I'm looking at as I'm reading this passage, and my prayer for you guys and you girls in here and you that are watching, is that you're also going to dig in and let the Lord bring out what's happening in the passage, in the narrative. What I see is that, number one, Sarai didn't stop and say, God, where are you? What I also see is Abram didn't stop Sarai and say, hold on, Sarah. Hold on, girl. This is crazy. This is crazy. Let's pray. Let's talk to God about this. Or let's talk to someone else about it. Let's get some kind of let's have someone give us some wisdom. Amen. This is what happens to people when you make decisions without talking to someone. When you've gone through the most difficult places of your life and you just act irrational because you're saying, God, where have you been? And then when you don't stop and when you don't pray and when you don't talk to someone and get counseling, when you don't seek wisdom, it kicks you on the backside. And I've been there. The reason I can say this, I've been there. I've been there where I take things into my own hands. I've been there where I move ahead of God. And then we get the results from verse 5. You know, then Sarai said to Abram, this is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms. It's your fault, but I put her into your arms and into your bed. And she's pregnant. And I'm pretty sure that Abram was probably thinking, well, Sarah, this is what happens when we go to bed with. I don't know the result from beyond that, but this is what happens. Can you process what he might have been thinking? I also think he was thinking, why did I do this? How many of you know that a moment of pleasure can be a lifetime of regret? And then she says, the Lord will show you who's wrong, you or me. Now there's this big old fight. And Abram, the cop out, he says, she's your servant. Deal with her how you want. Notice, deal with her how you want. Where is Abram leading here? That's very important. Men, you need to hear this, men of God. You need to lead your family. You need to make decisions. One of the worst things that I hear, and it can try to creep into anybody, is where the wife makes all the decisions. That's a cop-out for the husband. Because husbands, you're called to lead your home. You're called to pray with your family. You're called to make decisions so that you don't blame your wife when she makes a bad decision. Because you made it together. Or you led them in the things that God has had you lead them in. Because let me tell you something, this is important. Our kids need to see men lead. They need to see fathers father. They need to see husbands love. Not give it to your wife. Not give that responsibility to her only. So he said, she's your servant. You do what you want and whatever you see fit. And then Sarai said, okay, I'll do what I want. And she treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. And so what I see from this is Sarai's lack of faith ended up in everyone else being affected. But I'm going to tell you something. I see Abram's lack of faith and him not leading like he should have. It affected everybody as well. And I really believe that on this Thanksgiving weekend, that men, God is calling us to man up. And women of God, God is calling you to let them. To not make all the choices for your man. At times, you got to say, you make the decision. You tell me what you think. The third takeaway that I see here that is even in our worst decisions, God is able to restore broken people and fulfill his purposes. And here's what we need to know is that the purposes of God will always be done. Because he's God. Everything that has to take place will take place because of the Lord. And so here's my question as we begin to close the sermon. How many of us in here have blown it? I'm not done. And how many of us that have blown it, has it left brokenness all around us? That's why we need God. And what we begin to find out as we unpack this is that not only do we need God, but we need the God who sees. You see, you can't manipulate God. You can't deceive God. And even when we think that there is that we're beyond repair, I'm proof of 30 years of God restoring this man who at one time lived in one bad decision after another. But God doesn't give up on us. He didn't give up on Sarai. He didn't give up on Hagar, and he doesn't give up on you. Think about it. God could have very easily said, okay, Sarah, you took things into your own hands. I'm done with you. He didn't do that. We're going to see that as we go through the narrative. We're going to see what's going to happen in Sarai's life, and she's going to laugh about it. Just like some of you, you laugh. I don't think God can do this. I'm too far gone. I don't think God can do this. They're too far gone. Let me tell you, God is God. And he sees. and he cares. The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. And the angel said to her, "Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from and where are you going?" Now, the angel of the Lord knew where she was coming from and he knew where she was going, but he wanted to have some dialogue with her. And she says, "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai, because she's really, really, really mean." It doesn't say that, but I'm saying it. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her authority. Here's the beautiful thing about that is that God will send us back someplace to make sure we do it right. The road of life, our road in life goes like this. Look, if I was to draw it, if I had a whiteboard right now, it goes like this. Until you get it right. Until we get it right. I tell people this all the time. You know, when you're upset with someone, see, there's someone in here, you're upset with someone, you're so mad because they drive you crazy and you think, "I'm just going to leave. I'm going to go somewhere." You're upset. Can I tell you, you're going to face that same person with a different face and a different name. It's wherever you go. That's exactly. The angel of the Lord said to Hagar, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." He goes on and he says, then he added, "Okay, you're going to go back and you're going to submit. And here's what I'm going to tell you. You're going to have more descendants than you can count because I'm going to give them to you." He said, "Right now you're pregnant and you're going to give birth to a son and you're going to name him Ishmael, which means that God hears, for the Lord has heard your cry of distress." Notice it's God who said, "I will give you more descendants." These were not only Hagar's descendants, but they would also be Abram's. They were not going to be the heir of the promise that would come through Sarai, but it doesn't nullify the greatness of these people. Are you with me? And you cannot deny the greatness of these people, that God has expanded them all over the world. And Hagar, in her worst of times, she would find comfort in a God who cares for people in their greatest difficulties. And what I've come to find out is that God will never waste a tear. And every cry by every person is heard by God, and he cares about every tear that has been shed. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they've done. God cares, and that's why Jesus went to the cross for not only the descendants of Isaac and Jacob, but also for the descendants of Ishmael. They all need Jesus. They all need Jesus. Jesus came to save those who were lost. And thereafter, look at this. This is beautiful. Thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. This is important right here. She used another name to refer to the Lord. And she said, "You are the God who sees me." And she also said, "Have I truly seen the one who sees me?" So that well was named, and there's the name of the well, Beer Lahai Roy, which means well of the living one who sees me. And it reminds me, as I close, reminds me of this song that was written by Phil Wickham, this worship leader, and one of his contemporaries. And the name of the song is called "A Thousand Names." And he talks about all these names for God. You know, Hagar found the one who sees us. That's a title of God. He's the great I am. We're going to see in a couple chapters, he's El Shaddai. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the Lamb of God. He is the second Adam. I mean, and it goes on and on. He's the Heavenly Father. He's the one that cares about us in such great detail. He's the God who's worth everything that we have. And so the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, I want you to have every person in the sound of your voice do something today, if they will. When the angel of the Lord found Hagar in the worst of her times in her life, he met her where she needed to be met. And she knew that she had seen the Almighty. And I believe she went and she worshiped the God who is eternal. I'm going to tell you guys something. We've lost the awe of the God of eternity. And I'll tell you why. Because every week you come and you sit in your most comfortable place and listen to a guy talk about the God that we all want to know. And you leave and you're going to go have lunch and you're going to go talk about the sermon or not. But you never take a next step. You never even think about the possibility of maybe, Lord, I need you. I am so unworthy. I have blown it time after time after time in my life. And you won't even kneel to the Almighty. You leave here like if you just went and heard a speech instead of heard the word of God preached. The message that saves people. The person who is alive. The person that is worthy of all our worship and our praise. The one that never makes a mistake and fixes ours. And so here's what I want to invite you to do. If you can, some of you can't, but if you're willing, with this last song that we're going to do, if you're willing to surrender your life to the one who gave you life, would you join me in worshiping him? Would you join me in coming to the front and possibly kneeling before the Almighty God? Possibly kneeling and saying, God, you're worthy of my praise. I have blown it so many times, but you're the one who restores. And I acknowledge that, Lord, that you're able, you're capable of fixing all the things that I've broken, all the people that are a direct result of what I've done, Lord. And I want to trust you today before this big old Thanksgiving meal where you're going to go and you're going to eat all kinds of turkey and you might say a little bitty prayer. I hope that you pray a blessing over your turkey meal. But I'm telling you, there's a God who's greater than that. There's a God who's worth more than that. There's a God that we can surrender our lives to and that can change our circumstances or change us in our circumstances. So the invitation is for you. For you, especially for the one in here that you're internally battling because of someone in your life. And you cannot get rid of all the hurt and what has happened. And let me tell you, God doesn't want you to carry that anymore. He doesn't want you to go around that same circle anymore. So praise team, I would love for you to just start to play this next song. And then I want everyone that will, for you to surrender your life on this 2024 Thanksgiving weekend. And you let Jesus do the work that only he can do. And all you're doing today is you're saying, Lord, I can't, but you can.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire. Spirit, washed in His blood, and what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. So I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song. I'm praising my risen Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior,
the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him, that's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. And He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. Never fail.